The thing about it, from our standpoint, when you go a year without the College World Series, you know it's back when you start to see familiar faces that are in our town that you're going to get to spend the next 2 weeks with, or they're glad to be back. That includes our next guest, well known to everybody. We've got him out of Bases Loaded. We got him back in the Big O. Mike Rooney joins us now. Runes, it's great to be back. I see your trip is off to a good start at your favorite steakhouse in Omaha.
Yeah, that's right. We arrived yesterday. We went to the Drover yesterday. As we like to say, Gary, you got to establish the whiskey filet early in the contest.
Hey, what does this mean to the sport after last season that we've been able to make it through a year and get to the biggest stage?
Oh, gosh. It's just, at the risk of sounding cliche, it's like this is our everything, right? Like, this is what the players dream about. This is what they work so hard for, the coaches, the fan bases, and I think the most important point is Omaha never disappoints. It's just the people you get to see, the way the city embraces it. There's so many friendly faces here. The stadium is gorgeous. But yeah, I've been here about 30 hours and I'm already having an awesome trip.
So let's make it personal here. You still did all the coverage and everything, but I know you're a people person. You like to be on site. You like to talk to coaches. You like to talk to players. You like to be in the environment. You spend a lot of time being in a box on television or in a studio with our good friend Matt Schick. What's this been like from your standpoint as a college baseball aficionado, but also a broadcaster?
Yeah, I would say, to your point, there's nothing that substitutes going to the stadium, feeling hearing the sounds and the smells and the being around the people. But I will say that the NCAA tournament is a fairly emotional event for me in many ways. And so getting to do the squeeze play event, or function is really something that is important to me. And, it just reminds me of, I remember being a player in the NCAA tournament. I remember coaching in the NCAA tournament, all the high highs and the low lows and the pressures and the camaraderie. And so, even though you'd love to be there, I don't mind being in the studio for those, 45 hours, because I just getting to see those kids and coaches live out those moments is pretty awesome.
Before we kind of get into some of the storylines of the eight that are here, I want to ask you about one team that is not here, that took out Nebraska a couple of weeks ago. What do you think happened to Arkansas post-SEC tournament that they came up short against North Carolina State?
Well, I think, I think it's almost more about NC State than it was about Arkansas. Mm. NC State is really good. And I've told people this, NC State reminds me of 2008 Fresno State, where that Fresno State that won it all, they got just run off the field by Arizona State in game one of a super regional. And it was this was an Arizona State team for the ages. Ike Davis, Brett Wallace, Mike Leake, Jason Kipnis. I mean, just an incredible array of players. And then Fresno State comes back and beats them in two very tense super regional games and then never looks back. And so I think that's part of it. I think the Arkansas offense just never, Christian Franklin had been battling strep throat. That was an issue. And, their one hole that they just couldn't establish a consistent weekend rotation. And you know what? For 16 weeks, they still won anyway. Mm-hmm. And in the 17th weekend, it caught them. And, it's a heavy weight to carry the number one banner that long and all year. And, I'm thrilled for NC State, but I'm bummed for all of us that Arkansas's not here, because I still think they have a beautiful team.
And they have a pitcher who we saw up close a couple of weeks ago that has been named the Dick Howser Trophy Award winner. And for people that don't know, that's essentially the Heisman Trophy of college baseball. It's the first time that a relief pitcher has ever won that award. Have you ever seen anybody like Kevin Copps, Mike, where what the role they put him in, or a guy that, last weekend threw over 300 pitches?
Yeah, I think, think about the other big award we have in college baseball is the Golden Spikes, and the person I'll cop to is Darren Dreyfuss,
was
the last reliever ever to win, we're talking in the early 90s now, right? It's a long time ago. I just think Kevin Copps is such a great story. you know, this kid's 24 years old. He's a six-year senior. His freshman year in 2016, he redshirted. Then he pitches a little bit. Then he Tommy John surgery in 2018. He has an 8 ERA in 2020. And at the end of the 2020 season, he's asking Matt Hobbs and Dave Van Horn, hey, like, do you guys even want me to come back? And, you know, then to have what is one of the epic pitching seasons we've seen in college baseball. I mean, yeah, Kevin Cost was a great story this year.
You were talking about North Carolina State and the storyline there. But what about Stanford, Runes? They went into Lubbock and beat Texas Tech like most teams don't on their own field at Dan Law Field. Who is this Stanford team?
Yeah, Stanford is, I would tell you, David Esker has taken over for the legend, Mark Marquis. And, you know, David Esker's a Stanford guy through and through, even though he did an awesome job leading the Cal program. You know, David Esker was the starting shortstop on the 87 national championship team for Stanford. And, you know, their MO, their position player group is really physical. And, you know, for me, it's like if you're expecting a bunch of kind of geeky guys with pocket protectors, that is not who Stanford is. I mean, they are very physical. Now, they're very young. They start first and second year freshmen. But, you know, their center fielder, Brock Jones, I mean, this kid is a scholarship football player, 6'1", 215, super twitchy and fast, left-handed hitter. And, you know, the thing for Stanford, they're very thin on the mound. But they've got two kids, Brendan Beck and Alex Williams, who are kind of your vintage West Coast pitchers where they just command the baseball and it's not overpowering. But if you don't have a really good plan, you know, they can dice you up. So, yeah, Stanford is – I wish they were deeper on the mound. I think they're probably here a year early for the timetable David Esker had. But they're a fun team.
What if you had to construct a lineup against Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter?
Yeah, you know what's funny? Chris Burke, who does such an awesome job for us at ESPN, me and him did a podcast in the middle of the year, kind of like, all right, what do you do with these guys, right? Like, what the heck are you supposed to do with your offense? And I actually had the good fortune of coaching against Mark, or I should say bad fortune, of coaching against Mark Fryer in 2001, his magical year. And, you know, Burke and I talked about what we did at Arizona State, and of course we lost, right? We got beat 7-1. But I think, you know, the one thing about Kumar and Jack Leiter is they will spray the ball at times. You know, they're not going to walk the whole stadium, but it's not pinpoint control. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way you beat those guys is some people in your lineup have to take some pitches and draw some walks, and then someone's going to have to run into a long ball. You're really not going to piece three singles together against these guys. And so that's the formula. And you know, you have to let those guys inflict some of their own damage, and then somebody's going to just have to cheat to a fastball or ambush a fastball and run one out of the yard. But, you know, good luck with that, right? Like, it's been very seldom that that's actually worked.
But we get these kind of matchups in Omaha, and with a dominating pitcher with Kumar expected to go tomorrow night, is you face an offense that, you know, kind of Arizona maybe quietly comes into the College World Series, and then you start sifting through their numbers like you have, and you go, oh my gosh, this is one of the better college baseball offenses we've seen in a while. How are they so good offensively?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, Gary, the Arizona kids that yesterday at practice were wearing a T-shirt that literally sums it up. Their T-shirt says, it's a ball or it's a line drive. And that is really who they are. They smoke line drives in the gap, and they stay off of balls that are not strikes. And so they do it 1 through 9 with just an absolute robotic relentlessness. I mean, they just do not let up on you. And so I think the net result of that is if you've got any vulnerabilities in your bullpen, they just punish it. I mean, absolutely punish it. And so it's a very deep lineup. You know, their stars are true freshmen. Jacob Berry and Daniel Susak are true freshmen that, you know, one has 70 RBIs and one has 61, which is unheard of. And so, yeah, they're just a really good group.
We've always wondered about Tennessee, and Tennessee has made trips to Omaha before. And we've looked at, okay, they're passionate about baseball. They've got a lot of money. They've got good facilities. They've got some coaches that are well-known that have had success. But they come up short in the difficult SEC. Why was Tony Vitello the right guy to push the right button for this Tennessee team to get here to Omaha, and maybe not just get here to Omaha, but have a chance to maybe win a national championship?
Yeah, I mean, I think when Tony Vitello was hired, right, like we knew this guy was one of the nation's best recruiters. And, you know, we saw what he did, what he did at Arkansas specifically, but, you know, in Mizzou also. But the thing we didn't realize about Tony is he was going to hire an elite staff. You know, Josh Nylander recruits for them. He does a great job. Ross Kivett is their first base coach. He's a former Big 12 Player of the Year that you know, that just played with a great swagger. Frank Anderson has won a national championship as a pitching coach. And, you know, Frank is very edgy. So I think what they did is they quickly augmented the roster. And Dave Serrano and his staff, Larry Simcox, had gotten them off to a good start. They augmented the roster very quickly. But what they also did is they changed the attitude of the program very quickly. And you notice, like, when Tennessee plays, to me, they remind me of the U, like the Miami football teams of the 80s, where it just feels like there's a dust-up every week. And you know what? They love that kind of party.
Then the nightcap on Sunday, well, should mention, Virginia is playing very well. They got great pitching depth, and they got Brian O'Connor, who's won a national championship here. Then we finish off the first round with a great historical matchup. Mississippi State, they know the road here. Texas is back. What will people see with Ty Madden, who could also be a top 10 draft pick next month? He'll be the guy that starts for Texas.
Yeah, you know, Texas is interesting because they've got three really good rotation pieces. You know, Tristan Stevens has won 10 games and been phenomenal. It's more sinker slider. And then Pete Hansen, their lefty, has just been flat dominant over the last 6 weeks. So I think David Pierce has got some decisions to make based on, you know, how important it is to go 2-0 in this format. That said, Ty Madden, you mentioned it, you know, he's going to be a high pick. He really dominates right-handed hitters. I think right-handed hitters are hitting like 160 against him. It's a fastball in the upper 90s, probably pitches at 95. It's a really wipeout slider. So, you know, he's a little bit more vulnerable to left-handed hitters, but he just destroys right-handed hitters.
Hey, before we let you go, and I'm great to see you back in town. Look forward to seeing you and all the great folks from ESPN. I'm interested in your thoughts because we've seen a whole season of college baseball, and the talent is great, and we'll kind of start to see what the impact of a later draft has on college baseball or the expanded rosters. We know what's going on in Major League Baseball with the way the game is being played. How do you feel as a baseball guy how the sport is being played right now, either being dominated on the mound or shifts or everything else that is the storyline now in the game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love the version of baseball being played at the big league level. I'm thankful that in college we've gotten, you know, a muted version of that, you know, a watered down version of that. You know, I actually think we've got probably a perfect amount of power in college baseball right now. We shattered the record for home runs in the regionals, but it didn't feel like we were headed towards the 21-14 Arizona State USC game. Mm-hmm. But there's too many strikeouts. There's not enough strike throwing. I think I'm willing to give the players a pass because they've been really training for a year and a half and have lost so many game repetitions. But you know, I think our style of play is so, in college baseball, it's so playoff oriented that I'm thankful that it's different than regular season big league baseball. But yeah, the lack of bat to ball is a bummer. And I'm thankful that we've not been drowned in that in college baseball this year. It has been a difference, but it hasn't been overwhelming.
Now we do see the shifts. Are you a fan of the shifts?
I don't mind the shifts. What flabbergasted me about the shifts is I'm ready for the hitters to adjust back. You know, like,
yep.
If they did some of these shifts on Tony Gwynn, he would have hit 700, not 400. So, you know, and I guess not everyone's Tony Gwynn, clearly. But, yeah, those don't bother me as much as the swing and miss. The swing and miss is a bummer.
Great stuff. Runes, great to have you back in town. Look forward to seeing you, and have a great stay here.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
That's Mike Rooney from ESPN. You'll see him on ESPN's coverage, and, of course, in my head, it's Bases Loaded. They had to change the name to Squeeze Play. That is the round-the-clock or round-the-country coverage that ESPN does with the regionals, the super regionals. That part of it is co-hosted by our good friend and 1620 alum, Matt Schick. All right, so here's how I think the College World Series is going to unfold. It is Vanderbilt knows how to navigate the College World Series. It's not easy. It's a grind. Not always the best team wins. Heck, we haven't had the national number one seed win a national title since 1999. But Vanderbilt knows what you have to do. You have to have good starting pitching. You can't get in a hole. You can't lose your opening game and then try and fight your way back. It's not impossible, but that's not ideal to do. But when you have two big-time pitchers, two guys that are going to go in the top seven of the draft, in Leiter and Rocker, if you can get off to a 2-0 start, you are in the driver's seat, especially if Vanderbilt wins tomorrow night against Arizona and they're able to mute that Arizona offense that is just bashing. And I hope the ballpark doesn't mute offenses, because you got eight teams that, for the most part, can hit home runs, hit the ball to the gap, do all that kind of stuff to score a crooked number of runs. But if you're Vanderbilt and you get off, if you win tomorrow night, and then Jack Leiter cleans you up on Monday, you got Rocker coming back on Friday, and you have to be beaten twice. And if they beat Rocker, then they got to face Leiter. Now, it would put you in a hole if you got the championship series, but if you start 2-0 and you're Vanderbilt, you're feeling really good in that top of the bracket. Then the bottom, I think it comes down to Texas and Tennessee. I'm curious to see Texas. They're going to be challenged now. They haven't been challenged much in the first 2 weeks. I mean, look at who they play. They got a break because of an upset. South Florida showed up in Austin. And South Florida was their own worst enemy in the opening game when they came back to tie in the top of the ninth. And then I don't know what the hell, they weren't playing no doubles defense. But I like Tennessee. I think Tennessee is good. I think Tennessee is ready to break through and be mentioned as a, oh my, baseball school. I love their head coach. He's not for everybody. He's got a lot of Van Horn in him. He's got some swag, and he's got, we're Tennessee and you're not. I think we'll see a Vanderbilt and Tennessee championship series. There will be a call to move it to the Volunteer State, but we're going to keep it right here in Omaha. But I think Vanderbilt wins the national title again. Not prolific offensively, but they got two studs who could get them four victories in the College World Series. So I like Vanderbilt to repeat, and I like Vanderbilt and Tennessee to play for the championship. And we'll see how it unfolds right here on the Zone over the next 2 weeks. Don't forget, we will be down at Baseball Village.
Yeah.
We haven't really promoted this.
We really haven't.
Yeah, so you want to come see our shows outside of the morning show. Everybody will be downtown at the Baseball Village. We have a new location. We're in the same building. We're just on an opposite side.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't go to the old location and you see, like, you know, a place to get your glove fixed. We're not there. Yeah. And you're like, hey, what happened to the Zone? Did they shut down due to COVID? No, we're just on the other side.
You
we're in the same building.
You won't be able to miss us.
Really?
Yeah. They've got some new decorations out there. Yeah.
Will our mascot be there? We're unveiling a new mascot. Is that not true? Am I supposed to mention that? That we don't have a mascot?
Did somebody email Shane?
No. But, well, it'll be the normal party down there.
Yeah.
So if you want to stop by and say hello.
Yeah.
More than likely, we'll put you on the air.
I'm afraid.
Will I be able to interact with people?
Yes.
Will I be able to talk to people?
Yes.
Will I be able to holler at people?
Yes.
Will there be people that would be good storytellers that I'll be able to communicate with?
Oh, without a doubt.
All right.
Without a doubt. And they're giving me a wireless mic this year.
Really?
Yes.
Well, our technology in this building, that's sure to go wrong. Like, you'll be able to roam?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're now mobile. Except the fact I probably wouldn't be able to hear you.
That's okay. You sit across from me 20 hours a week and you don't listen to anything I say. That adds a different kind of element.
A little bit, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, we can have some fun.
Huh. All right. Well, I will be down there at 10 on Monday. So I look forward to seeing everybody.
I'll be looking forward to seeing you. Yeah. Yeah.
George will be down there nonstop, so make sure you stop by and say hello to George.
Absolutely. If you see me, say hello.
We got anything to give away? Are we giving away shirts, mouse pads, koozies, keychains, cars?
I have that meeting.
Trucks.
I have that meeting after.
Playing
the show.
Cards.
After the show, I have that meeting.
So. Stuff that's left over in the prize closet.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
If you show up and you mention that you listen to the Gary Sharp Show, I will hook you up with something. I got you.
You're a man of the people.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, 120. We'll discuss what happened last night in the association, what Rick Carlisle may do, the pecking order of the seven jobs that are currently open. Are we in agreement that the worst job that's open is Washington?
Orlando?
But Orlando is probably like sixth. That's still to come, 21 past the hour, on a Friday edition of the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.